It was lockdown, and then, you know, my ideas keep brewing. One thing led to another, and I was building.
At that time, you were not waiting to move to Canada to start. You were tinkering already. And I think that's the big lesson for people. You were not, ki main wahan jaake life banaunga. You were always in motion.
If you are passionate about something, better invest. Why do you want to put your career also onto that?
So don't pursue a passion unless there's a business to be built.
Yeah, playing the right game is important. Yeah. Like Kunal Shah keeps saying that you play badminton, you play, let's say, golf.
Yeah.
You're playing, yeah. You like playing, but outcomes are very different.
Yeah.
Very different.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you decide what game you want to play.
Welcome to Unstarted. What is unique about this show is this is about you. It is for founders, by founders.
My guest today is Chirag Taneja, who runs a company called Go Quick. I will let him describe what the company does. But just going back to Chirag's background, undergrad, Delhi College of Engineering, mechanical, I understand. Mechanical. One of those who's worked in a company called Maruti, in case you haven't heard of it. But that'll be interesting to hear, did an MBA. So path that actually, when you look at it, since many of you ask question on, you know, what is the path? How do I get there? I think Chirag's story is very relatable. It's not hopefully one of those intimidating, this journey looks very hard. And Chirag will also share along the way some of the calls he took, which also I think a bunch of us would be able to relate to at various times in the fork in the road. So thank you for doing this, Chirag. Welcome. Maybe we first start with explaining what Go Quick does, but more importantly, after that, we want to go through your life story from your words and how you connected.
Thanks, Avi. It's always good to be back. About Go Quick, you know, we of course started with this vision of democratizing shopping experience, but I think it's got to do now more with can we help more people become entrepreneurs. I think that's the mission I'm chasing, and then of course putting India on a global map that we can also build great software out of India for the world. That's what at least we are trying to build for anyone who wants to sell directly.
What is the product?
Multiple products now. So unlike what you see in US, typically a single product play in software, we are multi-product. So across the funnel, right from ads to login to checkout.
So many people here may have actually experienced the product without knowing it. If they have bought on D2C, what is the likelihood that they have used GoQuick?
From a market share point of view, 1 in 5 transactions is what we do.
Yeah.
So likelihood that if you are a shopper, you would have encountered us. I keep getting bumped into people now.
1 in 5 non-Flipkart Amazon?
1 in 5 on D2C.
On D2C.
So we are 20, almost 20-odd% market share.
Yeah.
So I now, keep bumping into people when I'm wearing a jacket saying, oh, we've seen. And how are you associated with GoQuick? Good that I'm not that much known.
Yeah.
But at least the brand is getting noticed by consumers also. I think there is a trust flywheel in place there because people see GoQuick now. I keep hearing a lot that, okay, we trust now that you would have done all the KYC and all the other trust requirements.
So we'll come back to how you came to this idea, basis your journey. So let's go to the journey first. So what's the family background? Where did you grow up? How did all of that play out?
And I'm a very middle class born up person. And by a single parent, my mother passed away in 1998. So my dad actually took care of both of us. I have a sister, younger sister. And he is always a banker, so you can say a little bit of banking is in the blood, or used to be in the blood. I think maybe my dad was always like that he used to push me, on certain things and not take it lightly. Whatever you want to do, in a more concerted way, with full force, instead of just, lack of intent, even if you are playing sport. Like, it's not got to do with business. I think that's in the blood. So you play with intent. I think that's there. And then very standard, Delhi boy, of course, now stay in Bangalore. Or maybe Bangalore has still not accepted me. Delhi has given up on me. So I'm somewhere in the middle. Did my engineering from Delhi College of Engineering. Was never a topper, so to say, even in 10th, 12th, or even in engineering. And maybe it was not lack of capability, maybe it was like, I always used to feel ki number lane kyun hai. Like, I never got the motivation ki, okay, what does it mean? It went down to engineering or JE. You know, I got JE both the times, but I was getting, like, I think second attempt, I was 3600 rank. So I was getting IIT Delhi Civil. And then I had done 1 year in Delhi College of Engineering, so I thought, let's continue.
Yeah.
So...
No, but not being a topper type is, I think, good for people to hear, because many people people look from the outside, they think, you know, college life, they must have been toppers, this, that. But you were doing some interesting stuff even during college.
Yeah, I've done, but wherever I have felt the challenge, I've done well. Right, so and I've taken different challenges in life, like in engineering, as part of the first ever Asian team which did a formula type race car. And the trend continues like 15, 16 years down. Right, so I'm very proud of that we tried something which was never tried. And it was very, very tough, you know, imagine 2003, a bunch of people dreamt about something and there was no Asian team to do it like in history.
Yeah.
And we thought we'll build a car and take it to UK. Imagine.
Yeah.
All self-funded, you know, you can imagine Indian colleges saying that, oh, this is all bullshit.
Yeah.
And we did that, took it to UK, ran the car there, and it was fantastic. By that virtue, got, you know, a job at Maruti also. It used to be, you know, at that point of time, Maruti used to be like dream job, PPO type of a job for mechanical people. And I luckily got into it. And there also, you know, so Maruti has this interesting graduate engineer trainee program for 1 year. Wherein they throw you at different departments and see. And then 1 year later, they have this a little bit of bidding system, yeah. Wherein you choose that, okay, what do you like? And then they have openings. So imagine, you know, I never thought that I'll be on the shop floor running, you know, building cars.
Yeah.
Did that for 6 months and then realized I'm not learning, this is not for me.
Yeah.
And moved to a data analytics company without knowing, you know, and this is 2005-06. You know, we of course speak a lot about data now, data being the new oil, but that was very, very early. And, you know, got into this company where I had no clue about machine learning, pivots, Excel I knew, but not pivot tables. And we are working for international clients like Merrill Lynch, et cetera, who are giving us analytics jobs to solve for tough problems, LTV, CAC. Bilkul kuch nahi pata tha mujhe us time pe. Imagine, you know, you are coming straight out of engineering. And did a good job there. Spent 1.5 years there. Got into FMS.
Yeah. So fast forwarding, you know, one of the things I've noticed as you've been building GoQuick is just the level of data analytics. And, you know, often people are asking, what is the right experience? What should I use? Actually, if I look at your background, I think at every stage you seem to have taken away something that you have applied in a later stage of life in some form or the other. We will fast forward all the way to the idea. We'll take the first question, and because there's a lot I want to unpack in what you have said. Very simple first question. I want to ask what is really important for starting a business. Idea, capital, knowledge. And I know you have, I still remember when we were discussing your idea.
Well, what's the difference between idea and knowledge before you move ahead?
You should ask the person. I think knowledge is more domain. So like if you think about financial services, I'm going to do financial services, right? Idea is probably what, you know, you're solving a problem or something like that. If we fast forward, Chirag, maybe quickly summarize the barbershop journey, first of all, and then answering this question, what do you think is the most important? What was the journey and then how did you apply it to what you're doing today?
I think for me, my stint at Bombay Shaving Company, I think is the foundation to GoQuick. You know, I would not have done GoQuick without like getting my hands dirty at Bombay Shaving Company and acquiring all the knowledge which today, or at least the first few years, we applied.
Yeah.
We didn't have to go to a merchant to understand the pain point, because I was the merchant, I knew like this is a real pain point, which I think worked really beneficial.
What was the pain point? And how did you?
You know, imagine, you know, I remember in September of 2020, I started thinking that, okay, you know, there are these global companies trying to build checkout. Looks like a good payments plus commerce junction to build something. But then I realized India is very different, and how do we approach the problem? And I had learned that GTM is super important when you're doing 0 to 1. It's not about building a product standalone and not figuring out GTM. Right? So GTM is very important. That's where I figured out, you know, first attempt to doing that was that, okay, can we unify all UPI apps and give like a mobile app experience? And imagine at that point of time, if you had to do a UPI transaction, you had to enter your VPA.
Yeah.
It was very painful because people didn't remember.
Yeah.
And that led to loss of payment success rates. So we figured that out. And I remember pitching to a few fintech experts, angels. And they said, baat to sahi bol raha hai. But lekin, because of this, people won't move.
Yeah.
Like, you are building the right thing, but think more. And I again went back to the drawing board. And I said, okay, what else is there? You know, and I love this phase of, you know, living with the problem for a while. You know.
So I want to actually abstract that, Chirag, because I would argue either none of the three are important or all three are important. It is solving the problem that matters, right? Living with the...
Maybe I think I'll break that.
Yeah.
I think we get obsessed about solving. I think choosing the right problem is far more important, or is equally important.
Yeah.
Than solving.
Say more about that. What does that mean?
Right. I think, you know, let's look at how do we build our careers. You know, when we build our careers, all of us are paid to, like, our bosses will say, okay, please don't crib in front of me, get me solutions. Right. So you are naturally become a solver.
Yeah.
Whereas I think when you think about building a startup, or as you grow in a startup phase also, I think getting obsessed about problems is far more important.
Yeah.
Right. If problem is wrong, then whatever solution you build is going to be wrong.
What is an example of a wrong problem?
Like, I like to say this, that all problems are not capitalistic in nature, or you can't make businesses, right? We are not scientists. We are supposed to build businesses. Hence, you know, like for example...
Okay, so for example, picking curing cancer as a problem, it is a very deep problem, but may not be the easiest business to build. Right.
Easiest business to build.
Understood. That's
like, for example, you know, like, I don't remember who was telling me, urban company is a great business, but it's a very hard business to execute.
Yeah.
Right. If you ask any capitalist, he will say, okay, I'll figure out an easier way to build the business. This is a very hard way to build the business.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm coming from that lens.
Yeah.
That there are certain problems which are very hard to solve for.
Yeah.
Do you really want to, like, go after them and solve? I'm not saying that you should not go after hard problems, but you should figure out that how do I build business, because eventually that's what you are trying to solve for. We are not R&D experts who are saying, okay, let me solve the problem and I don't care.
And then, so I think that's a great framework. Picking up the right problem to solve is more critical than the problem itself.
You look at, you know, all the people who pitch to you also.
Yeah.
I think when we pitch at seed stage, we are mostly obsessed with the problem. There is some hypothesis around, okay, these are possible solves.
Yeah.
And you can recollect now in most founder journeys, typically the first answer is not what ends up scaling.
Everybody says that, right?
Okay. Right. So getting the problem right is far more important.
But then layering it on, the founder market fit or the founder problem fit in your case was also very, very strong. So you picked a problem that you thought one could build a business around, and you had a unique right unfair advantage with that problem. And I think that's very critical, because as you were talking, I remember during my Bazi days, payments were broken. Can you imagine? They were still broken 20 years or 15 years later. And I had to build that payment gateway. So I knew how the banking system works. And then when RazorPay, Harshil and Shashank came, 10, 12 years later, it was still broken. And then it was very easy to see that this is a broken problem to solve. Because by the way, there were payment gateways.
Yeah.
But it was very clear that, so that's very good. Pick the right problem. And then my view, think about what your unfair advantage as a person is to solve that problem.
And I think picking the right problem also comes with this domain expertise.
Yeah.
That otherwise you don't build the conviction that, okay, is this the real right problem?
So we will come to domain expertise, because I think the next question will connect back to that. This is a person who's a product designer, and let's...
I'm curious, when someone is starting out, how do you decide which sector to build in? Should they focus on what market trend is, or should they focus on what they're genuinely passionate about?
So now let's connect the whole thread. You said pick the right problem. You were actually in an e-commerce sector, but you didn't choose to build a D2C e-commerce company. So, and to the question of saying, should I pick sector, should I pick passion, how do we bring this all together?
Yeah, my view is, if you are passionate about something, better invest. Why do you want to put your career also onto that?
Very good.
I think if you want to build a business, you got to have domain expertise around it. And then go deeper. Of course, you can apply your skills, whether it is product building skills or technology skills. Like I have seen, what's your right to win? Like I might be passionate about travel, let's say, as an example. But do I know like the sector, what is changing? I know so much about e-commerce.
Yeah.
But I'm passionate about travel. It doesn't mean that I should start something in travel, at least from my viewpoint. Unless I get real on ground, you know, or let's say what happens in travel or in any sector is that you have some top down analysis and some insight that, okay, this is changing and hence, but you don't have a bottom up insight.
Yeah.
In that case, you struggle.
Yeah.
Nobody can give you that bottom up insight that, okay, this is what is changing and hence you got to do.
Yeah.
That requires, in my view, a lot of domain expertise, staying with the problem for a while and then figuring out what's the big game.
Yeah. So I think it's very interesting. So don't pursue a passion unless there's a business to be built. But there is that whole Ikigai framework, right? You can have passion, and if there's an opportunity, I used to use passion, skill set, opportunity before I knew what Ikigai was. So you are saying don't pursue a passion for the sake of passion. There has to be some skill set, some domain expertise, some opportunity for a business to be built with that. Or you can always indulge your passion in other ways and still do something different. The key here is picking areas where there are problems to be solved, good problems to be solved, where one can build a business.
Yeah, playing the right game is important. Yeah. Like Kunal Shah keeps saying that you play badminton, you play, let's say, golf.
Yeah.
You're playing, you like playing, but outcomes are very different.
Yeah.
Very different.
Yeah, yeah.
So you decide what game you want to play.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. Now, in your journey, I know that entrepreneurship, there were many forks in the road where today you could have been sitting in Canada and living a very different life. So talk about that, because again, from the outside, nobody knows what those forks were, what was the decision making at that time, what is the role of family in some of this?
You know, in hindsight, and a lot of people have told me now this, to put it in words, that I'm a very probability guy. So I will have like five options in front of me always saying, okay, this happens and this happens. Maybe that's paranoia in me, which keeps me that way. But I like to operate. And at, you know, in 2020, when COVID happened, I decided to move on from Bombay Shaving Company. And I was figuring out that, okay, and I was done with a little bit of, I used to see my kid who likes to play a lot and suffer in air pollution in Delhi. And that's when I thought that I don't want to stay here, you know, what service I'm giving to my family. And with that thought, and, you know, one of my friends had asked me to apply for this Canadian PR, which I had no clue. And I told him that I'm going to give IELTS for only one time. I can't give this exam more than once in my life.
What is the exam?
This is IELTS.
Okay.
This is English. Do you know English?
Okay.
I told him I can't give this shitty exam more than once.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, I'll only give once. Of course, fared well and got this PR without even knowing what does this mean. And then we had it. I thought that, okay, you know, I have aspiration to build a software company. I have enough times in my life seen that I am not the ops guy. So very clear on that. And decided it and was very mistaken that I can run a global company from anywhere. Right? Imagine this was COVID.
COVID time.
Everyone was saying
that,
okay, yeah. Global companies can be built from anywhere. I thought, okay, let me settle in Canada, a nicer place, and we'll do the business from here. And that's what I was pursuing. In fact, we had booked tickets. We had ordered those. I still remember, still in my house, those big suitcases we had ordered from Amazon August sale. They're still lying. And it was COVID, so luckily or unluckily, we had not booked tickets. We thought that, okay, we'll book one day in advance and fly.
Yeah.
I remember my sister had a two-year-old baby, and she flew down to meet me. Ki ye jaane wala hai. And then we never went. It was locked down, and then, you know, my ideas keep brewing. One thing led to another, and I was building. And then I was saying, theek to chal raha hai. Maybe we want to solve for Delhi. Let's go to Bangalore.
No, so during, because that's a very, very big divergence in path, right? So when you were almost decided, you had your suitcases almost, well, suitcases bought, not packed. Yet you said, at that time, you were not waiting to move to Canada to start. You were tinkering already. And I think that's the big lesson for people. You were not,
also, you know,
ki main wahan jaake live banaunga. You were always in motion.
Always in motion, and I was there also now reflecting and what we were discussing. I was still married to solving the problem.
Yeah.
Kya mereko Delhi pollution se problem hai.
Yeah.
Not that I am married to, you know,
staying outside. Solution thoda drastic hai. Yeah.
So I was, and maybe now the family is also tuned that way.
Nee, but Bangalore to, I mean, happened much later, right? So
it happened in we first time went in 2021 end, and in 2022 I moved.
Oh, you moved then? Okay, fair enough.
I'm going to complete 4 years.
Yeah, yeah. So you were tinkering, and I do think this is important. When people are at crossroads, so you have said something that I believe as a life mantra, which is probabilistic thinking. I keep telling people, often people will come and say, I'm thinking about deciding about this. I'm like, what are your choices? First, generate choices. Decisions are a function of choices. Generate choices. Don't get into decision-making mode, get into choice generation mode. So one, it's, and then probabilistic.
We make it very hard by making everything binary in life.
Yes.
We make it very hard for ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas life is always gray.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Figure out, keep figuring out, keep improving.
Yeah.
You know.
But the other piece that you have done at that time that helped you is, you don't stop. You were in motion, you were tinkering, and I've seen that. And I think it goes back, people should realize that certain patterns in life repeat. You were tinkerer clearly in DC also, building cars. And so you kept tinkering, and then the attractiveness of one choice versus another choice automatically presents itself, right? And sounds like that's how it played out with you.
And I think it still continues, you know, you put the right word that I am a tinkerer. I like to try new things.
Yeah.
You know, I'd never done ski in my life.
Yeah.
Last week, my son said that he has been saying to me for last 1 year that he wants to go to a snow place.
Yeah.
I hope
you don't take him to Dubai in that mountain.
No, I took him to Gulmarg.
Okay, good.
And for the first time in my life, I did ski, and I did fairly well.
Yeah, yeah.
So I am a big time tinkerer. Like, I like to challenge on new things. People throw me challenges, and I'm like up for it.
Yeah.
I have realized that I sometimes take wrong battles also. So that now I have become very conscious about that.
Say more about that.
Like the same thing that, okay, you know, sports is one thing, but do you want to like fight, let's say in today's business parlance, do I want to fight a $1 million revenue battle?
Yeah.
Versus, let's say my time is more valuable too.
You are saying as a tinkerer, if you don't grow up,
because I'm married to problems.
Yeah, you're going to keep tinkering where your life stage is here, but you're still tinkering here and wasting time in some ways.
Yeah. So that now I'm very conscious about.
Yeah.
That am I picking right battles? And that also I've learned my lessons by doing my first startup where I think.
I thought your board gives you very good advice in that.
Yes. Keeps me honest.
I'm kidding. Yeah.
No, I think that push is right in the from the board side also that, you know, what was good probably 2 years ago is not good now.
What got you, what's your 0 to 1, 1 to 10, And I think that's an important lesson. We keep talking about 0 to 1, 1 to 10, 10 to infinity journey. Unless the founder makes that shift that I'm on the infinity journey, wo 0 to 10 mein hi rahenge,
right? I think you only told me that good founders are able to transcend themselves.
Yeah.
Right. So it starts with us.
Yeah.
If I am not thinking 18 months ahead, then I don't think so my team can think.
Correct.
And if you start thinking, then I think teams are also motivated that, yes, this is growing. We have a vision to go after.
Yeah. You know, so for each founder, I like to summarize what they mean. As I have observed many different types, what is very unique to them. And I didn't think of the word tinkerer, but tinkerer is very unique to you. But the way it translates into business, because you are one of the few companies I have seen, other than the fact that from day one, the company has been ahead of plan, is that you have done how many acquisitions?
Two.
Two small ones, and both have worked. And they are a very large portion of our business, or a very meaningful portion of our business. And I think what I have observed is you are always very market backward. So you are always tinkering around the marketing market also, and therefore you are able to spot opportunities others can't. Because the first principles, and I'm sure in our board discussions that sometimes we some of us may have been opposed to those, right? But you have the courage of conviction because you're always looking at the market. And what gives you that courage when to make these kind of moves?
I think one is more than market, of course, and then listening to merchants also. I spend
consciously
a lot of time with merchants, consciously.
By the way, that's been a theme of every founder we have spoken to, just the relentlessness of being customer backwards.
You know, a lot of people would say that data gives you insights. I think, especially at our stages, by the time data tells you, I think it's late.
Yeah.
You know, or data is making that decision.
Correct.
It's like, you know, let's say I'll give you a cricket example. That a player gets selected, if data is indicating, let's say, Suryavanshi today.
Yeah.
If he gets selected, I think it's no-brainer. Data itself is saying that is great.
Yeah, yeah.
If you are a selector, you have to select much before.
Correct.
Right? So that's our job.
Yeah.
That do I have something which I see that is going to brew out in 2 years, 3 years?
Yeah.
So for that, I think you got to spend time with the merchant.
Yeah.
How do you build that judgment?
Yeah.
Because data will follow.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a tricky question and then I'm going to put it in your context. Co-founders, how do you think, and I'm going to add to that question, that you have actually, you know, Revant has also been on the show. You guys could have been co-founders. So how have you, having seen the previous journeys, thought about co-founders? And then how do you think, and this is a tricky part, and maybe your co-founder should not be listening to this, how do you think about ownership? How do you think about equity, and how do you do the ownership between them?
I think I'll separate the, or maybe there are threads to this.
Yes.
One is that you should know what kind of company you're trying to build. Yeah. At least some view of that. Are you building a technology company? Are you building a ops company? Are you building a hybrid like Swiggy is, both tech and ops?
Yeah.
And then you got to think that, okay, what is the complementary skill set, which I don't have, which gives me real leverage.
The starting point, Chirag, is ki co-founders hone chahiye. Or do you potentially start with ki nahi? You start with होने चाहिए and what type होने चाहिए, or you start with नहीं होने चाहिए and do I need to?
नहीं नहीं, for sure होने चाहिए.
क्यों?
My sense is not only, so one was of course the thread of skill. Second is you require a lot of this emotional support.
Yeah.
To keep going.
Very lonely journey.
You know, you are right that it becomes very lonely at certain point of time. That you got to have a partner who, without skill set, with skill set, I think is just with you. I think that support itself is very, very, very comforting. That you have someone who at least is long-term married to you and continues to go with you. And then, of course, if it is married to the skill also, then it adds to the company performance in a very, very different way that, you know, for example, I have a technology co-founder. I like to tinker with technology, but I'm not an expert. So that complementarity helps a lot. And then because he's a co-founder, I can trust him. He can trust me on business. And we flourish with each other. Like he brings technology insights, I'll bring business insights.
Did you know him from before?
I knew him from before. In fact, that's also very coincidental. that I sold my first startup, and he was on the evaluating side on the other side. That's how I got to know him.
Yeah.
And then I used to throw problems at him. We got to know each other, and I thought he's a great hustler.
Should people partner with co-founders they don't know? Like, should there be a deterministic process of dating, like, and finding arranged co-founder, like arranged marriage?
Difficult नहीं है वो मेरे को तो senior hiring में लगता है like I keep meeting people 3-4 times.
Impossible है मेरे हिसाब से आप बोल रहे हो difficult. I think it's
imagine,
very dangerous.
Imagine you know co-founder.
Yeah.
If I don't know how do I you know few dating में भी नहीं होगा.
And to going back to your point up and which I think is a very actionable takeaway from people for people. You have a co-founder not for the skill set but for the emotional support. You cannot get an emotional support in an arranged marriage, maybe I'm being too, but in an arranged co-founding situation, right? It's too risky. So absolutely not. In that situation, be a solo founder and hire that skill set is my view.
So no, I was very conscious that both the co-founders I knew and I had clear skill set requirements that, okay, I needed one data scientist, one technology guy, and I am the business guy. And this stitches well, we'll be able to like at least get the ship off the ground.
And how did you think about relative ownership?
So this is a situation context driven, but largely I have been thinking, at least my principle in building a VC-backed startup is that you're trying to build a, grow the pie. So few percentage points here and there doesn't matter, right? At least I was very clear that I don't want to have singularly very high ownership. It's fairly split between us.
Yeah. I think you've been very generous and I think...
And we have had like, you remember, you know, we had day one without anyone coming in at 25% ESOP pool.
Correct. I was just coming to that. You've been very generous. But say more about that. What is the...
No, largely came from that view that mujhe badi company banana hai, toh main akele nahin bana sakta hoon. And I have to... you know, share wealth with everyone. I came from that view that, okay, you know, why do, if the company is big, then I end up holding 5% to 7%. It doesn't matter. Right. So I came from that view.
It's the size of the pie, not slice of the pie. And I think I have observed that with you guys. I think it's a very actionable thing in terms of, by the way, when we started, when we sold Bazi, in those days, the peon in the office made 2 lakhs, whereas salary may have been 3,000, 4,000, 5,000.
And largely maybe I come from that view that I think when people see money,
yeah,
when they make money, I think they make better decisions.
Yeah, yeah.
So I come from that view.
Full
that
capitalism. Incentives are what?
800 of the world.
Yeah. Superb. Chirag, so people listening, what is, you know, we have received many questions. People thinking about starting up, largely in that realm. Some have decided that they are starting up the second time, which has been very, very awesome to hear. What is your parting advice for everybody?
So this is super great time to be building in India. I think we are blessed to be at this point, you know, in the generation that we are building. I think lot of, you know, I'm sure it has been covered before that lot of technology infrastructure is in place, consumer demand is growing. But overall, I can tell you, you know, from our experience, that we are going to be the country which will going to develop and do a lot more, you know, new innovations, technology innovations, not only for India, for the world, but India itself is going to be a big market. You know, imagine we were discussing yesterday that India is getting used to buying more software, and this is a little bit of a habit that you buy one software, then you buy two, and then you realize, oh, I need more.
Yeah.
So it's like shopping. So we are on that journey. India will see a lot more $100 million revenue companies, which was not seen before in software.
Yeah.
Right, keeping aside the AI conversation separately. But largely the trend is very, very secular.
And that's something for people to take away, that for the first time, India is actually moving away from services to software. And when people think of AI as a threat, actually AI is the biggest opportunity. It gives us the wedge to accelerate that journey even more.
I think by putting it as threat only, na, we make it sound negative.
Yeah.
I do always look at things as opportunity.
Yeah.
At what is the opportunity for me?
We'll end on that note. that everything should be looked upon as an opportunity. Thank you again, and thank you for doing this.
Thank you. Thanks, Avnish.
You're watching Z47 Moments, the podcast by India's oldest venture capital firm, Z47. If you like this episode, consider hitting the subscribe button and the bell icon so you never miss an update from Z47 Moments.